Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. The Bible says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." You know, we are certainly ought to be thankful that we live in a country today that is free, that we can worship God freely. Not every country has that opportunity where Christians have to, there are those where Christians have to worship privately. But we as Americans, we have that opportunity. For how long? Who knows? But today we still have that opportunity to worship God in freedom and praise the Lord for that. And there's been many that have died for that freedom, and we certainly are thankful for that. I personally myself have family that have served in military. My dad served in the Army. One of my grandfathers served in the Army. One of my grandfathers served in the Navy. And I had a great uncle that served in Vietnam that was shot down in a helicopter, and he survived, praise the Lord. And then I have my wife has a great uncle who served in the, that was World War II, right? Was that World War II? That sacrificed his life and jumped on a bomb to save somebody. And so he was killed. But there have been those that have paid the price for freedom. If you today, certainly this would be appropriate time, if you today have served in the military, if you have served in any branch of the military, it would be the Army, Navy, Marines, Air Force, National Guard, whatever it may be, if you have served in the military, why don't you stand this morning on this fourth day in July and let us recognize you. If you've served in the military at any time, and let's give these men a round of applause. Thank you. You may be seated. All right. At this time, let us sing together. Let's continue to stand. This. How can you sit with this one? America the Beautiful. God shed his grace on thee. Let's stand. Never forget the price of freedom. Praise the Lord. Second Chronicles chapter 7 this morning. Second Chronicles chapter 7. I draw your attention to the book. Second Chronicles chapter 7. Now at this time that the temple had been completed, God had told David that he would not be able to build the temple because David was a man of war. David was a bloody man. He was a man of war, so God was not going to allow David to build the temple. But what David did do is he prepared the materials for the temple, or he gathered the materials for the temple to be built. And when his son came along, Solomon, King Solomon, he would oversee the construction of that temple, and he would watch as the temple was being built. The people gave. They gave sacrificially. The workers worked diligently. And so we come now to 2 Chronicles chapter 7 to the dedication of the temple. The dedication of the temple, 120,000 sheep were offered. That's a lot of sheep. 120,000 sheep were offered on the altars during a seven-day period of time. And so by doing so, hey, they were saying, "Lord, we reverence you. Lord, we bring our worship to you." And they were dedicating the temple in that way. Now, in this moment, God spoke to the children of Israel, and the Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13, the Bible says, "If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people." In other words, God is saying in verse 13 of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, "Now Solomon, if there comes national tragedy in the land, if there is no rain, if disease is spreading everywhere, I am going to give you a prescription for revival. Solomon, if you need to get a hold of my heart, if you need to lead the people back to spiritual revival, this is the direction you must take." 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, the Bible says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Now, here God says, when the nation's in trouble, here is what you need to do. You don't need to call your senators or your congressmen. You don't need to go through political reform to get it together. You do not need to go through social action to get it together. That's not what God says. The Lord says, when you need help from heaven, here is what you need to do. You know, friends, there are times when your family needs help from heaven. There are times when our nation needs help from heaven. If you need help today, or if you believe America does, I want you to listen this morning and learn as an individual that is here at Cornerstone Independent Baptist Church here in Enola, Pennsylvania, how you can make a difference in America today. How you can make a difference in America today. I want you to see God's prescription for true revival. True revival. Notice, if you will, this morning, we must first of all seek personal revival. We must first of all seek personal revival. Hey, it's not my brother. It's not my sister in the need of prayer, Lord. It's me. It's me. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. We have to have an understanding that we ourselves need to look at our own hearts, look at our own lives, and say, hey, where am I at with my life spiritually? Am I right with God? Is my heart right with God? Not worrying about our brother, not worrying about our sister, what they are doing, but ourselves worrying about what are we doing? What are we doing, dads, as a family, to lead our family spiritually in the way of the Lord's? What are we doing, moms, spiritually, to lead our families in the way? Look personally into our lives and check, what are we doing to bring spiritual revival to our life? True revival will bring a conscious awareness of God into my thoughts and into my heart that will produce a change. Did you get that? True revival will bring a conscious awareness of God into my thoughts and into my heart that produces a change. And so when revival takes place, we will practice the presence of God. We will live our lives with His holiness in mind. Oh, isn't that a word for today? His holiness in mind. Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. We're missing that in America today. Now, there came a visitor many years ago. He came by the name of Alexis de Tocqueville. And after visiting America in 1831, a man who had come to try to discover for his country the greatness of America. What made America great? He made an observation that is worthy, I believe, of our understanding this morning. He said, "I sought for the greatness and genius of America and her commodious harbors and ample rivers, and it was not there. In her fertile fields and boundless forests, and it was not there. In her rich mines and her vast world commerce, and it was not there. In her democratic Congress and her matchless constitution, and it was not there. There. Not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits flame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is good. America is great because she is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, she will cease to be great." You know, America is great because America is good. If my people, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, my people, certainly some are part of the family of God and some are not part of the family of God this morning. We must first be born again into God's family. You know, Jesus in John chapter 8, he looked at a group of religious people one time and he said, ye are of your father, the devil. Ye are of your father, the devil. Hey, you're not mine. You're not reflecting me. You're not reflecting who I am. You're not a child of God. You know, they looked good outwardly. Their outward looks were good. But on the inside, God knew their heart. Hey, you're not of me. You're of your father, the devil. Titus 2:13, the Bible says, "Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." You know, Jesus Nicodemus came to Jesus one night, you recall this perhaps, in John chapter 3. Nicodemus came to Jesus. He realized there was something different about Jesus. He was a Pharisee. He was one that was a religious man. He was one that was a keeper of the law. And certainly Nicodemus looked good on the outside, but there's something that wasn't right on the inside. There was something that was empty on the inside in Nicodemus' life. And Jesus answered to him in John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be what? Be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You have to be born again. Verse 6, the Bible says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit." And Jesus said in John 3, 7, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." It's not a matter that you just have a physical birth and you grow up and you die and pass away. No, what you do with Jesus is what is most important in your life. Jesus is saying, hey, you have to have a spiritual birth. You have to have a birth from above. You have to be saved. And I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the way. If my people, are you part of God's people this morning? Can you say, "Pastor Dan, I have accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I am part of my people. I can have revival because I have been spiritually revived, spiritually." Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, the Bible says that he has made us accepted into the beloved. Hey, those of us who are saved, that have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are part of the family of God. We are accepted in his beloved. What a wonderful thing that is. That'll give you great encouragement this morning that you are part of God's people. If my people, which are called by my name. So if my people, which are called by my name. Now, in this day of the children of Israel, they were known as the children of God, Jehovah. They knew Jehovah. They knew Jehovah as God. They were known as the people of God in the day of Israel. This was Jehovah. In the church age, we are called Christians. We're called Christians. And so the name came actually from the enemies. The name came from the enemies of Christ. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. If you look at Acts 11, verse 26, we won't turn there this morning. But if you look at Acts 11, verse 26, they are called first Christians in Antioch. Now, Antioch was a city. It was a city by the Mediterranean Sea, located by the Mediterranean Sea. There were believers who were so on fire for God. They loved Jesus. They were so loving, kind, distinct. They were different that when others would watch them go by, they would say, "Hey, there goes those Christ-like ones," or "There are those Christians." Don't ever be ashamed this morning to be called a Christian, a Christ-like one, one that is a child of God. We ought to all, as Christians, shout it from the rooftops, declare it from the mountaintops that Jesus Christ is Lord. If we're ever going to have victory over national decline, it's not going to start in Washington, D.C. It's not going to start here in the Capitol in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. It'll start in your heart. It'll start in my heart. We must seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Well, he may be found. First of all, we must be God's people. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? You can never experience this. Understand this. You can never experience true revival unless you have trusted Jesus Christ first as your personal Savior. You must first trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior before you can ever experience true revival. In other words, you cannot be revived spiritually. You can't be revived spiritually until you have been made alive spiritually first. You must first of all be born again, as Jesus said to Nicodemus. Ye must be born again, born from above, before you can ever experience spiritual revival in your life. Are you saved this morning? If my people, now for those who are saved and desire God to do a work in our heart, not only do we seek personal revival, but also we must seek prayerful renewal. We must seek prayerful renewal. We must seek prayerful renewal. The Bible says in verse 14, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall what? Shall humble themselves and pray." And pray. We must seek prayerful renewal. God is drawn to the humble, church, not to the proud. God's drawn to those who are humble. God will use those who are humble. He doesn't want to use those who are full of pride. 1 Peter chapter 5, the Bible says, "For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." Not to the proud, to the humble. Proverbs 6 verse 16, the Bible says, "These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look." That's the first one on there. A proud look. Second, a lying tongue and hands that shed innocent blood. God hates pride. You know, Satan fell because of pride, didn't he? Satan fell because of pride. And God wants to use those of us today who are humble, desiring to serve him in a spirit of humility. God is looking for people who will be humble themselves today, like Isaiah of old. You remember Isaiah of old, who came into the presence of the Lord and said, what do you say? "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a what? A man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." He saw the Lord and said, "Woe is me." Woe. That'll shrink you down several notches, won't it? When we realize who God is and who we really are, that ought to bring us right down to the level of humility. We live in a nation today where the forces of evil, it seems, are fighting. They're fighting against anything that is good, anything that is righteous. There are those who desire that there be no mention of God anywhere. How sad that is. Don't mention God here. Don't have God here. Take the Bible out of here. Take the prayer out of here. Don't show them about the Ten Commandments. There are those that desire anything but God. Many churches themselves have fallen prey, sad to say, to the, can I say it this way, the do not offend culture. The do not offend culture. Oh, don't preach it. Don't worry. Don't, be a little easy on that, preaching that. Be a little easy on this. Sad to say, the Word of God has been loosely handled from many a pulpit. The Word of God has been watered down from many a pulpit. We won't go into detail there this morning. How sad to say that is. If my people, oh, we can worry about the other people that aren't saved out there, but what about the church? What about the pillar and ground of truth, the church? We are to be salt and light in this world. The preaching of the Word of God needs to be preached once again, not compromised. Not compromised, not taken lightly. And we must realize our need for God in this land once again. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. You realize our forefathers understood their need for God. Many of our forefathers, at least, understood their need for God. It was James Madison, the fourth president of the United States. He was known as the father of the Constitution. Listen to what he had to say. He said, "We have staked the whole of all our political institutions upon the captivity of mankind for self-government, upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves, to control ourselves, to sustain ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God." I'm sorry, we can't have these on our lawn, these Ten Commandments. They're going to be taken out. Wait a second. This is America. Why wouldn't you want "thou shalt not kill"? "Thou shalt not steal." "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." "Thou shalt not commit adultery." And on and on. Why wouldn't you want those on your ground and have your children watch those and abide by those rules? Why wouldn't you want that as America? Oh, we need revival. We need revival in this land. It was John Jay who was the first Chief Justice of our Supreme Court. And one of the three top men, he was one of the three top men in the formation of our Constitution. Listen to what he said. He said, "Americans should select and prefer Christians as their rulers." Boy, you made that statement today. You'd get in big trouble, wouldn't you? We need Christians in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. They can only be Christians. Are you a child of God? Have you been born again? We may get a lot of trouble. But that's what he said. Back then you could say it, amen? We need Christians, praise the Lord. Not because Christians are perfect. No, but because they have a Bible that is the Word of God. If you're relying on your religion, if you're relying on being a Baptist, if you're relying on being a Catholic, if you're relying on being a Mormon, that's not right. You need to rely on the Word of God, God's Word. What does God's Word say? What does the Bible say? That is truth. That is truth. And these forefathers understood, hey, we need God. Patrick Henry, that patriot and founding father of our country, said, it cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're saying, well, I don't like the way the fundamental independent fundamental Baptists run their things. They feel like a cult. Wait a minute. If you're thinking that, you're thinking the wrong thing. We're here to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's many independent fundamental Baptists that are imperfect. We make mistakes. But that's not our purpose to go to church. We serve the King of Kings. We serve the Lord of Lords. That is our purpose. God, not other people. Listen to what our first president, George Washington, said. It is impossible to rightly govern without God and the Bible. It's impossible. Look at our nation now, and you can see that, can't you? Go to Washington, D.C., watch what they're doing, or don't watch what they're doing on the news, if it brings you discouragement. It's disastrous. It's disastrous what is going on there today. It was Thomas Jefferson that said, can the liberties of a nation be secure when we have removed the conviction that these liberties are what? Are the gift of God. It's not ourselves. God gives to us. God gives life. God gives us liberty. God gives us breath. Thomas Jefferson also said that God who gave us life gave us liberty at the same time. Wow. John Adams said, suppose a nation in some distant region should take the Bible for their only law book. And every member should regulate his conduct by the precepts there exhibited. He says, what a utopia, what a paradise would this nation be. Hey, the Bible gives freedom. For those the unsaved, they don't recognize it because why? Because they haven't been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. But it gives freedom. And our founders recognized not that all of them were saved. It's not that Thomas Jefferson may have not have been saved. It's not that all these men were saved necessarily. But they at least recognized a need for God. Hey, we need God. We need God to help us. Certainly this is very good for the times that we are in. Listen to what Noah Webster says. He wrote, when you become entitled to exercise the right of voting for public offices, let it be impressed on your mind that God commands you to choose as rulers men who rule, here it is, in the fear of God. Men who rule in the fear of God. We have people today, they're not statesmen. They're snakes. They are political snakes. And we need men and women that are in our offices that rule in the fear of an almighty God. The preservation of a Republican government depends on the faithful discharge of this duty. If the citizens neglect this duty, in other words, voting those in that have the fear of God in their life, if they neglect voting people in like that, if they neglect this duty and place unprincipled men in office, the government will soon be corrupted. Boy, how right he was. Noah Webster, many years ago. We need to come to the place of humility, church, and prayer that God is the only one who can heal this land. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Someone said to Abraham Lincoln, do you think that God is on our side? Abraham Lincoln responded and said, my concern is that we are on God's side. When we get the right perspective, oh, that we would come back to the place of humbling and say, Lord, forgive me for trying to agree, for getting you to agree with my own agenda, for trying to get you to do my thing. God, I want to be on your side today. I want to be on your side in things. If we do not humble ourselves, God will humble us. Understand that. God will humble us if we do not humble ourselves. I want to look at five things that will happen this morning if we do humble ourselves. Five things that have been given if we humble ourselves. First of all, the heart is emptied of self-confidence. If we humble ourselves, five things at least, the heart is emptied of self-confidence. The self-confident man will no longer say, hey, I'm confident in myself, I can do it myself. No, the self-confident man will turn into the man that is dependent on the Lord, dependent on God. He will empty himself of self-confidence and say, hey, Lord, I need you. I need you to get me through this. I need you to help me in these circumstances in my life. I need you in all my life, in the things that I do. Secondly, this man is ready to approach God. A humble man is ready to approach God. Remember, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. If a man is proud, he's not ready to approach God in the right spirit. First, he must confess it. Third, a person with a humble heart will readily confess sin. A person with a spirit of humility will readily confess sin. In other words, he will easily apologize for sin when the heart is humble. Sorry, honey. I did that. Really? Are you sorry? We need to make our heart humble to God. Fourth, it prepares the heart for the entertainment of mercy. It prepares the heart for the entertainment of mercy. You understand, you're not ready to receive the mercy of God until you acknowledge the sin in your own life. You're not ready to receive God's mercy until you understand your own sin in your life and you recognize your sin. It prepares the heart for the entertainment of mercy, a humble person. It also, number five, it makes way for the forsaking of sin. It makes way for the forsaking of sin. When we humble our heart, we are ready to forsake sin. We are ready to forsake sin when we humble our heart, our spirit of humility. Oh, that we as God's people would be people that have a spirit of humility, always, and understand this, always desiring for reconciliation. If we have something against our brother, go to our brother, make it right. If we have something against our neighbor, go to our neighbor, make it right. We ought to always have a humble spirit and say, hey, if I offended you, how can I make this right? How can I get this right? How can I resolve it? So not only I can be back in fellowship with you, but also I can be back in fellowship with God. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. So there is action involved. And turn, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You remember the catastrophic event that happened in 2001, the Twin Towers came down. I had the opportunity before that to be on one of those Twin Towers back when I was in my high school age. And I went with my grandfather, my older brother. When that tragedy happened, it was Rudy Giuliani was the mayor. George Bush was the president at the time. And you recall, if you perhaps recall, how many people started going to church. And people were flooding the churches. But wait a minute. Maybe you could say that was seeking his face, perhaps. But did they turn from their wicked ways? Did they turn from their wicked ways? What has happened to America today? You want to experience true revival, you can't just seek his face. You have to act upon it, and you have to turn from your wicked ways. And what does he say? Three things he says. I will hear from heaven. God will hear from heaven. I will hear you. Hey, if you seek my face, if you turn from your wicked ways, I will hear you. I will hear you. But not only will he hear us, he will forgive sin. God will forgive sin, and he will heal their land. This has been quite a time that we've had here with this pandemic, coronavirus. But as Christians, have we lost focus of what we should be doing? Perhaps we need to ask God to revive our hearts, revive our lives, and search our hearts, see if there be any wicked way in us, and lead us in the way everlasting. The psalmist David, can't help but loving David, can you? David wasn't a perfect man, but David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. It's not that David was perfect. Certainly David sinned, David fell, but David desired to get back in fellowship with his almighty God. He wanted to be in fellowship with God. He didn't like being out of fellowship with God. And if we are Christians today, if we are truly saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, we should not be comfortable in sin. We should desire to be back in fellowship with an almighty God, serving him faithfully. And praise the Lord for you folks this morning that are faithful to the house of God. Praise the Lord. Perhaps there's somebody here this morning that says, you know what? I'm not part of God's people because I haven't accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I haven't been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, and I need to be saved. What a good morning to be do that on the 4th of July. Amen. Independence Day for our country, but you can have freedom in Jesus Christ. If you call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved this morning. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Let's be revived this morning as a church. And ask God to help us if there's anything in our lives that we need to get right, to make it right with him. Let's pray. Lord,